Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening to the second funniest podcast.
The first funniest podcast will not be aired tonight.
Replacing will be second best. You can send us an email, podcast@justincomedy.com, or you can give us a phone call at 408-228-4911.
You won't be able to be a part of this podcast because it's already been recorded. Don't call right now.
I'm going to be at the Toledo Funny Bone with Derek Carter September 3rd through September 6th. September 13th, I'm going to be at the OC Comedy Spot in Fullerton. And the big thing, don't forget, November 4th, recording my second CD at Rooster Teeth Feathers. You can purchase tickets now. If you are going to come to that show, please buy the tickets now. It makes me look awesome. You can get information at justincomedy.com.
You always look awesome, Justin.
Aww.
I'm going to India.
I know.
So if you want to know more about that, you can go to churchinhollywood.com/outreach.
All right. But they can send money, right?
They can, yeah. I need to raise $3,000.
How do they contact you?
You can email me at kevin@thekevinmiller.com.
Enjoy the show.
/outreach.
Okay, bye. We're back. Early.
Man, that was one of the craziest musical interludes we've ever had during commercial break. We got to thank the Tina Fey sisters for stopping by.
Thank you, guys, very much.
Oh, and our radio guest celebrity podcast. Welcome to the second funniest podcast ever.
Strong opening.
So far, I think we're about the sixth funniest, I'd say.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is about the sixth funniest.
Sixth funniest of the ones we've done, or sixth funniest in general?
Yeah, just in general.
Just in general.
Of every podcast I've ever heard.
Oh, all right. Good. Do you think my dad's doing what Kira Sultanovich did, or do you think that he just is going to wait?
I think we should make him wait.
Yeah. Really?
I think he can just sit there.
I am waiting.
See, I bet
I can't see the cue cards.
It's because you're old. We need to. I wonder how long we could have gone if we hadn't recognized him and just started talking.
Until I get done with my coffee. Yeah.
I don't think he would have probably given us a couple more minutes.
And then started to interject.
And then he would,
you guys are fools.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So, for those of you who haven't figured out already because you're dumb, the guest of this episode is my dad.
Yay!
Oh, I hit the button, but I turned it down. There is. There's your applause, Father. We're also doing, I guess, I don't know if this could be considered our first remote show, because...
Yeah, yeah, I would say so.
We are live from Camp David, and when I say Camp David, I don't mean the place that the president goes for vacation. I mean...
Well, we do.
That's
but,
true.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. My dad has a cabin in the mountains that's located on David Drive.
Deep in the Stanislaus Forest.
Okay, and he
deep in the Stanislaus Forest.
So he calls it Camp David.
Yeah.
And then recently he was elected president of the Homeowners Association, which makes Camp David real. Now this really is Camp David.
In our own mind.
He for no reason, he will go and cut down trees now.
I found it very unusual up until you explained that to me, why there were guys in black suits with things in their ears watching outside the house the whole weekend.
Yeah, there's the
that's just for the podcast.
Well, it's funny because most of the people here are like of retired age, the people that live here full time.
Would you say the average age is 79?
In the mid-70s.
So with a cool 80s, breeze coming in from the ocean at a low 55.
These Secret Service have to be on the edge because the only way the old people can't sneak up on them when they put the tennis balls on the walker. You can't hear that coming. You don't know where that's coming from.
Shuffle. Now, that's not true because when we pulled in last night, you said you could hear our car coming up the driveway and we were
But if you put tennis balls on the front of your car, I wouldn't be able to hear.
Excuse me. Back.
I'm leaving.
Are you
tennis balls
that
on
Saturn
car.
Would be stealth.
You just tried
around here.
You just tried to be a Foley artist, but didn't know how.
Yeah, I was like, how do I make the sound of me leaving? If I just hit the mic, does it sound like I left?
Kevin.
Door slam.
Kevin.
Step. Tennis ball on Saturn sound.
Kevin batted at the microphone like he was a kitten. Like this is me going downstairs.
Straight kitten.
Didn't you used to do a sound effect show at Universal?
But it wasn't real.
Yeah, I
could probably still do some of those lines. Hold on, let's see. Here we are in the Foley stage. This is named after Jack Foley, who discovered right here at Universal Studios that you can create sound effects added to a scene after it's already been shot. Let me give you an example. Right. Actually,
there's a.
Have you done the show?
Really? There's a cue?
No.
I was like,
but then I go and do an example.
I mean, I'm sure that wasn't the cue, but
no, you cue it yourself. It was one of the most brilliant shows in the world because the casts are the technical people and everything's auto run. But it was great because you're in that room, you direct up to a sound booth as if there's somebody up there running the show. But if you knew anything about construction, you wouldn't realize that it's a cement wall behind you and the booth above your head is maybe 2.5 feet deep.
Why not just hang somebody's headshot up there to point at?
That'd be good. There. Might as well.
Call them Rick.
Because most of the people are from Japan and didn't understand what we're saying anywhere. They're just excited to be in an air conditioned room.
Were they equally
taking pictures of Americans
by the Wolfman movie like I was?
Oh yeah. See, now that's a piece of technology that I thought was so funny because you enter into the third room and we do this bit, or into the second room where you do this thing and you say you have a little kid wear a bicycle helmet with some LED lights on it and tell them that what they're doing, this giant robot suit is doing.
Yeah.
And really there's a dude inside the suit that's acting like a robot and then he comes to life and tears and can pretends to kill the hosts. Now at the time I think when the show was conceived in 1980 it was probably like mind-blowing, but now that's called a Wii. to remotely control something with a crappy looking wand, every kid's got those in America.
Well, here's what happened for me watching it 3 years ago is that I saw the kid with the helmet. He was moving. I'm like, well, that helmet's not doing anything. And if it wasn't for the host telling him what movement to do, then I'm like, oh, it's like predetermined animatronic, right?
But you bit though. You thought
I bit
that it was
because
real.
When that thing came out and broke out of there, I screamed like a girl right in front of my brother. He looked like I think my brother jumped, but I went like I was. And so, and my at the time 10-year-old niece is sitting next to me, unfazed.
That's
so I was like, I look like such an idiot.
They had a good guy in the
I
suit.
Was in That's the front cool. row for in my defense. I didn't get a chance to see anybody else in front of me not react. So it was me. I probably added to the entertainment value for those behind me because they're relying on the front row to.
Yeah, I think it's
they're like that guy's scared. We should run. Oh, it's just a joke. Oh, that's so much
that's
better
okay.
Now.
Oh, that's all right.
That's great.
That was a fun show.
You made them wet their pants.
That's probably what I did do. That's a lot. I feel here's the thing. Yeah. This is what I want to get into with my dad here because mom was a huge hit.
Yeah.
Mom is probably busy. We have another mic.
I think she's out there smoking a cigar with Emily
with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I think we have to you know I at least would like to hear my dad tell some of the stories from when he was a kid because we talked about
when he was a kid, not when you were a kid.
And then, well, I'm sure we could get into that too. I don't know what
most
he
of
has
the stories when I was a kid are against the law. We can't do that.
We'll change your name for your protection,
Bob.
Yeah,
Bobby Jesse Worship.
we'll throw this out David. There. The stories that my father tells about his childhood did not really happen.
Fictitious and do not represent real or actual people living or dead.
Good, but they're true.
No humans were harmed in the making of these stories.
That is also not true, though.
Jacob is learning to walk.
Yeah, he's trucking around. So my dad, for those of you that don't know, my dad grew up on a farm in... Oh, crap. How is this happening?
Well, I Facebooked it. So.
We might have to hang up on this person. Yeah. We'll see. All right, thanks for calling the JK show. You're talking to Justin and Kevin and Justin's dad, Jesse. Who is this?
Yo, this is Ruben.
Ruben! Hey! Ruben. That's exciting.
Wow, Ruben.
Jesse loves Ruben.
He has no idea who he is.
No, I do like the sandwich.
Can you hear us, Ruben? It's hard, I know, when we talk all at the same time.
I can now. Your thing got all wonky on me for a second. How you guys doing?
We are doing good. Where are you?
Hello?
Where are you?
Bueller.
Where are you? Where are you?
Hello.
Where are you? Where are you?
Ruben, everybody!
I don't know why.
Where is he talking to somebody?
I think,
Ruben,
I can't
it's
tell.
A 6 second
the
delay.
The weirdest phone conversation I've ever had.
Can you not hear us at all?
Hello.
Bueller.
Breaker 1-9er.
Okay. I've lost interest.
I wonder if it's
our
bad.
I tried.
He hung up on us.
Oh, that's the best and worst phone call we've ever gotten.
That was sad. That All was right. exciting to hear from Ruben.
I'm going
to
close down Skype just so that doesn't happen.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's funny.
Don't you think, right?
Sure. Yeah,
I don't think that's a good idea. Plus, we got my dad here.
Yeah.
Plenty of stuff to talk about. I have a couple voicemails.
I should have mentioned that I was going to do that when I put it on my Facebook status.
I think it's because here in the mountains, the internet isn't such so great. So to have that broadband connection might not be
that makes
the latency of the satellite.
Yeah. So getting back to my dad, he grew up on a farm in Central California. Now, what was the first thing that you guys raised on the, or grew on the farm or whatever?
Chickens.
Chickens was the first thing. You had how many chickens, would you say?
15,000.
And your job, now, did you have to go to school, or did they invent school at this time?
There was not Chicken University.
There was what?
There was no Chicken University. We were taught on the job.
No, I'm saying, did you go to, have to, like when we watched Little House on the Prairie, they didn't have to go to, they went to school, like, what was it, every other day or for 2 hours at a time because they were more needed on the farm. Was that your life, or did you do everything before and after school?
Before and after school.
So what time did you get up?
In the morning?
Yeah.
It was like 6:30.
And then you would go do what?
Go. We had chores to do. And my father had these weird senses of chores. He came home from the sales yard one day with about 10 goats. And I asked him, I said, what do we need the goats for? And he says, well, you guys do not have enough to do in the morning. I need you to get up a little earlier, milk all the goats for something to do.
That sounds like Justin's father would do that.
That's how I learned.
Are you going to do this to Jacob?
So then I asked him what he was going to do with his goat milk, and he says, well, it'll be good for the dogs.
Yeah. So he would make them all, my uncle and everybody, get up, and then he would make them milk the goats and then feed the milks to the dogs that they had there. That's what he would do. Hold on, Jacob is now joining us. Where's Natalie? Where did she go? Is she busy?
Busy.
What's making presents mean?
I don't know.
Oh.
Oh, she's making party hats.
Marty, you could turn your mic on. It's not a big deal. We can hear him and all his cuteness, and he could bang around and make a little racket. This is going to be super laid-back show. Talk to us, Jacob.
Arr.
Say,
earlier today he had a half dozen Twizzlers.
Yeah.
At least.
By earlier, you mean about 15 minutes ago.
You say earlier today? Is that what you just said?
Put one of those headphones in his ears. Let's see what he does. I hope this is interesting because it's funny to me. Well, then he's knocking it over here. I'll support that, and then you could do this. And then
Jacob.
Jacob. He just wants to look at the headphone. This was a bad move. La, 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 la.
Telling you, folks, this is much funnier to see than hear.
Somebody get a camera! He's not doing it.
All right, back to your dad and his chicken farm.
So he would give this, he would live. Now he wants it back, or did he put it in your ear?
He's taking it out. He's taking the headphones out of my head.
Now he's going to cough. What are you going to say? Well, talk into the microphone. There, take it out of the stand.
Take it out of the stand.
And talk into the big end. There you go.
Here, play with this microphone. It's not hooked up.
I want to hear him. I want to hear what he has to say, because I know that the people who are commuting right now, or if you're Joseph Bears and you're running.
Do you hear that sound? It's the sound of people unsubscribing to this podcast.
I agree. Click. We've had a huge spike in subscribership. We could stand to lose some people.
If you don't think this is adorable, we don't want you to listen.
We don't need you. We're already above that.
Just kidding. Tell 10 friends.
Yeah, please, for the love of God. Seriously, tell go 15 if you got them.
Yeah, if you don't,
you should find
stand to listen
more.
To more of the show.
Yeah,
because we have tips on how to be cool.
So,
growing up on a chicken farm, you actually have a chicken scale here, right?
Yeah, for measuring eggs. How many?
I used one as a child.
So, when you came home from school, did you have to go collect eggs and stuff?
We gathered eggs in the afternoon and made sure that they were fed.
The chickens.
The eggs?
No, not the eggs.
Slop the eggs, son.
My grandfather wasn't a great chicken farmer. We never said that.
Stop putting ham hock around the chicken egg.
Now, would you guys eat a lot of chickens then because
morning,
they were there?
Morning, noon, and night. We had chickens for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Please tell the story about how you would go get the chickens for dinner.
Did you ever eat the goats?
No.
Oh, you didn't
eat goats? No, they were for feeding the dogs. That's what Grandpa didn't have to buy dog food.
Asian people that eat goats.
I didn't know if goat is a meat you'd eat. I mean,
not for Caucasians, I'm sorry.
Well, now we know where I get my racist humor.
Ding, ding, ding.
Where's this guy?
He can see you.
No.
He can't hear me.
For dinner, we would have chicken. It was my job to go out, and that was called wringing the neck of the chicken.
Because you
grab it by its head, flip it around, you would break its neck. This chicken would flop around for a while until it finally died.
That's amazing.
You would pluck it. My mother would skin it and cook it.
You wouldn't eat it with the skin on?
Huh?
You wouldn't eat it with the skin on?
No, that sounds
good, though.
So
it's the good part.
But it was my job to collect the chicken that we
were how old?
Or maybe I was 5 years old, 4 years old.
Now, imagine the world that we live in today.
Yeah.
Right? Now, this is a five-year-old child.
Oh, I love where this is going.
Now, granted, though,
yeah.
that this is also my father. We have to take that into account. So
who is amazing.
Amazing and crazy in the head.
And I love the voice you're talking in for us tonight, too. May I just add?
That's his voice.
That's not his voice.
That is still his voice.
My voice when I'm on a mic.
When I'm on a microphone, I drop it down 2 octaves.
He's not doing that. That
he is intentionally.
That is unfair.
No,
that is. Let me.
If you can dial it back, he said something in his regular voice. I don't remember, but I was like, "Oh, there's his regular voice."
I'm
on a microphone, and I sound like him. You looked at me like I became him. I am your father.
When he's not projecting, here's the thing: my father knows how to talk into a microphone, unlike me. See, when I'm on the mic, I have to turn
the mic
down.
Your chin and tell everybody how they need to scream to jump up on stage.
I'm yelling.
Oh, we have a ringer.
That's Ruben calling my dad's cell phone.
That would be the coolest.
Oh, I wish. I would love to talk to Ruben, too. Please, for the love of God.
Ruben, call back.
Ruben, no, we can't have him call back while we're here. Ruben, please call back. I wonder if it's because Friday night he was free. And the Tuesday nights he's usually not.
I'll post it again next time.
Yeah, but Ruben, if you are listening, please call back to the show. I'd love to talk to Ruben on the show. So anyway, so the way you told me the story, too, was that 5 years old, this kid, his job is to go out and kill chickens.
I love this story.
And he would run through. He would run through, and he would grab he would kill multiple chickens, and then watch them run around with their heads flopping and bouncing at their sides. Now, if this happened in today's world, these children would all be assumed that they needed to go into some kind of
It would be assumed that they would need psychiatric help.
Yes, exactly. Like that, but like in a hospital. Like I'm not just saying that. Well, I'm going to go casually see a therapist. I mean that they would have to be. They would probably be considered to be future serial killers. Which brings me to my next question. Have you ever killed a man or woman?
No. That was not the time for that. there are recording devices in the room.
Just animals.
But that was normal. 5-year-olds have been doing that for generations. It's only until recently that it wasn't okay.
And correct.
Emily and I were talking about this on the way up here. We stopped in some low-punk town where there were a gang of hooligans skateboarding like around my car as we went inside to get something. And as I tried to back out, they wouldn't move. They keep skating around the car. I'm like, I'm going to hit you kids. But we were talking about how it's no wonder that kids get into violence and or you need to go feed them money so they can go to the mall, because they're supposed to be learning their parents' trade on the farm, breaking the necks of chickens, because that's what they need to do to survive.
Yes.
And instead, they don't have anything constructive to do with their time, so they're going to get on skateboards and spit in a big pile on the sidewalk.
My favorite part of that is you call them hooligans.
They are hooligans.
You describe them. They just become annoying.
I think that means hooligans.
That's an interesting thing. What do you think about today's, like, you have grandkids, right?
I have grandkids.
Do you think your grandkids
are different?
We can even start with your kids. Do you think your kids are pussies?
No.
Do you think your grandkids are pussies?
No.
Do you think your great grandchildren will be pussies?
No.
Why not?
Do you have any great grandchildren?
No.
Who would those be? Like Jacob's children?
It's the way that they're raised. It's the way that you treat them. It's what you give them as experiences, what you expose them to, and everything else. There's a multitude of things that they're exposed to. They're asked to do.
Yeah.
I love scaring the shit out of them. You know,
it tickled me till I peed and fell on the ground.
Sorry, we got to get to. There's so much we have to get to.
Okay,
back to stories on the farm.
Okay,
we're gonna close. This is our plan.
Okay.
So we're gonna.
I love targets.
Stories on the farm, and then we're gonna close with your views on parenting, what parents are doing wrong.
And we have lots of people that can jump into the mic of Natalie, mom, Emily.
Everybody else is busy doing.
Jacob's the only one that wants to be on the show.
He is dying to be on the show.
Or have some watermelon. Can't tell.
No, he hates watermelon. So what was the next venture then? So went past chicken farms. What's the next venture?
We had chickens, and after that we had horses. So we rode horses.
Did you have to get the eggs from the horses?
No.
Did you have to wring the horses' necks?
No.
How are these two things related?
What came first, the egg or the horse?
It was the egg.
Did you pluck a horse?
Then we got the horses because we got bored because we didn't have chickens.
Did you ever pluck a horse on the internet?
So you got horses to raise them.
Did the horses raise the
chicken? That was the idea. It was more of a...
Oh, it's not okay when I do it.
No.
But it's okay when you do it.
No. Yes. Yeah, you're getting it. Yeah.
the horses were recreation and something to do. I mean, we didn't ride bicycles. We rode horses.
Because they hadn't been invented
yet? I didn't ride a bicycle until I was probably in fifth grade.
Because they hadn't been invented.
No, because we had horses to go.
That's true.
Now, were you like John Wayne? Like, you would ride your horse to school? Would you tie your horse up next to other kids' bikes?
We would, during the summer, like May on until the end of school, we'd ride the horses to school, tie them up at a fence. They would wait there for us, and we'd ride them home.
Really?
The afternoon, yeah. That was a common thing. It was a small country school. My class.
Did they have water or anything
40,
when they're?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But then my class was maybe 40 people. It was hardly nothing.
Oh, that's cool. Can you imagine that now?
Holy!
I want to see horse racks.
I tried to get him to buy me a horse so I could ride it to school and tie it up to a bike rack.
We were in town.
Yeah, we were a little closer. Different, to, yeah. We were in the edge of town. We weren't in a farm area, but there was like I was telling. I think I was telling you or Emily one yeah. that there was like houses that were trying to be built. So we had plenty of dirt to ride three wheelers and stuff like that. But
the horse phase, like I said, it was a recreation. I became a horse trainer for other people. I would break horses for other people. I was
that doesn't now? Sound safe. What do you mean you would break
I was like
them?
Like six.
Like over your knee?
No, a horse
like what
you
would see the
ride.
Engines do in the Western.
Wasn't tame, wasn't saddle broke, couldn't ride it or anything like that. I would train it. I would.
Oh, you'd break their spirit.
That's exactly it.
Not their ceramic bones.
And I was a jockey for...
The radio?
No.
None of your stories go where I think they go.
No. You grew up in a different era.
That's true. We and pronounce the era.
And a different area.
So you were how old when you were breaking horses again? I'm sorry?
I was like six and seven.
So, but that's what Grandpa was doing to make money for the families? Or when the chicken farm went away, is that when he started driving truck?
Well, no, when the chicken farm went away, he started what they call clipping cows. In that day and age, a dairy had to have the hindquarters of the cow completely clipped to like an eighth of an inch to qualify for a grade A selection for milk. You couldn't have long hair on the back of a cow.
So he was like
utter forward. He was a hairstylist for cows,
like a cow manicurist or pedicurist.
Well, he did their hooves, trimmed their hooves, and clipped their hair.
And put on really? Nail polish too.
Wow. And this is where he got the idea to give you guys haircuts through your entire childhood.
No, that was just because I think he found it amusing.
What kind of haircuts would he give you?
Like I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, oh, but great. Like,
I fought that all my life. Right. And now at the end of my life here, I'm back to haircuts. Yeah.
My dad, as soon as he got old enough, he decided that, because they used to just have the butch haircut that they call it now, the buzz cut or whatever. And so as soon as he got old enough, he grew it out long, like as long as it could be.
I saw pictures.
As long as I could get away with it and still live at home.
And for those of you who have seen my act in the last year or so, you could tell my dad is a hairy man, right? So he's the guy.
Inside and out.
Like, my father and I look identical at the ages, only his sophomore picture looked closer to my senior picture because
I wore a beard.
He could grow a beard. And he actually got in a... I'm going to tell this story for you, but because I think it's funny, is that at Beyer High School, my old high school, he got in a tangle with
you guys went in the same high school?
Yeah. Oh, he was the first... Well, not the first, but like the second or third graduating class of my high school.
The year the high school opened, I was a sophomore.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they had... because this
Did you ride your horse there?
No.
Because it was in town.
I motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
Honda.
He's bad.
On a sophomore in high school?
Yeah.
Wow. Times are different.
I had a motorcycle when I was...
In a sophomore in high school?
Yeah.
I bought my first motorcycle as a sophomore in high school.
A lot of kids do that because I don't know if it's still the case, but then what's funny about it is back even when I was a kid is it was cheap. You could get them for cheap.
Gas
and
is cheap.
And at 15, you could get a motorcycle license before you could get a driver's license for a car.
That seems
which I think
backwards.
Is hilarious because let's put you in the most thing that will, most likely thing to kill you when you're screwing around as a dumb
kid.
But
at 15, you did not have to have a person with you. You could be driving by yourself.
They didn't want you to kill anybody.
Right. You're more likely. Like my dad, when I got my motorcycle, I went to get insurance for it. I go, did you see how cheap this motorcycle insurance is? And this is how my dad explains to me. He goes, well, that's because the only thing you're going to hurt is yourself. It's a big deal.
They don't care.
You're the only one that's going to die, and your motorcycle's going to get
hit the side of a wall. They're going to have to clean it.
Because I had liability coverage on a motorcycle. Right. It was like $36 a year or something like that for a teenager. I was like, why was I not doing this earlier? This is great.
I think when I was a sophomore in high school, I had a slip and slide. That was my best mode of transportation. Man, we lived in different places.
Yeah, we did. So you're breaking horses. I forgot to finish the story about Beyer real quick. So there was an assistant principal there who came to my dad because he had a full beard and long hair, and he says, the school dress code requires that you shave the beard. And my dad said...
Again, a sophomore in high school with a full beard?
Full beard, okay. A sophomore
That's
in high school.
All that horse meat you're eating.
And my dad says, no, I'm okay. And he goes, no, it says in the handbook for the school. And my dad goes, well, if you look at the handbook, it says seniors are not allowed to have facial hair. I'm not a senior. I'm a sophomore. So he got to have a beard until he was a senior. Real quick, too. Let me drop this little
thing. Are you serious? How did you know that?
I read the rules.
Oh, man.
I did that to a teacher of mine my junior year in high school. I had a math teacher, Mr. Clendon, who would give a green sheet, which for anybody who doesn't know, like college, like his idea was
a syllabus.
I'm gonna prep you for college by giving you this breakdown. And he used to
it a green sheet? Was an actual green sheet?
No, I think it was
that's
just
a term
syllabus
we just had at San Jose State.
Yeah, that might be true. Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't know. I've never asked anybody else
for
another
college. Another college.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyways, the syllabus, and on the syllabus, he would try to panic the students by saying, just so you know, your grade, 80% of your grade is going to be tests. 20% will be homework.
Oh.
So I was like, great, I won't do any homework. I'll just study
for
the test
and get a B.
So I got a progress report, I think my first trimester. My dad was a big stickler on grades, couldn't get anything below a B. I could do anything I wanted as long as I had above a B average, right, in school. I could go out, you know, as long as I wasn't gone 5 days out of the week or anything, you know.
I didn't
really have to answer to him or anything. But when my grades fall, then he got to tell me what I did when I didn't. That was his rule, right?
It's your job.
So anyway, so the teacher sends home a progress report. I go, Dad, just give me 3 weeks. That's all I need. And so I went into the math teacher and I said, Mr. Clendon, and there seems to be a mistake. I had a progress report sent home. And he goes, well, let me go through my grade book. And he goes, well, Justin, you haven't done any homework at all during this entire first trimester. And he goes, and I go, yes, but I've maintained above a C average on all of the tests. Now, it says here, Mr. Clendon, on the sheet you gave us that 80% of our grade is tests and 20% is homework. You being a math teacher could surely understand that I should have at least, at the very least, a C minus or a C grade. And he did not like that. So then there was another time that a computer teacher.
I got called down to the school, to the dean of boys with him,
right,
going over this, you know, computer guy was going nuts, and I asked him to explain. I said, what's his grade? What's he's doing wrong? Yeah. Well, he's disrupting another class. I says, has he completed all of his projects? And I said, what's his grade? Give me the individual grades and everything. And this guy's showing me, and he was not failing the class. Right. He was passing the class. I asked him, what's the problem? This teacher got so frustrated, he left. So we're sitting there with the dean of boys, and he goes, well, we still have this, you know, expulsion thing to deal with. And I said, well, you've wasted 45 minutes of our time. Couldn't we just call it even?
Right.
Goes, good enough.
The guy actually told, that's what the teacher stormed out because, and it was the same, that was what was funny. It was the guy who was the now vice principal, I think, of my grade level, was the same assistant, like disciplinarian guy when my dad was the school. He was the same guy my dad had the conversation with about the beard.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Same exact guy.
And here I am back with my son. About a computer teacher.
That's funny. He's like, you know,
the way that this stupid computer teacher put together his assignments was you couldn't get nothing but a perfect score. Mm-hmm. Like you'd turn it in and go, you didn't do this, this, and this. So the class was completely boring. So I would take 10 minutes to do my assignment in a 50-minute period, and I would just screw around for the rest of the class.
He went on Facebook, right?
He was a tenured teacher. He wasn't doing it.
Anyway, so then he came in, and so I had all my assignments. My dad later goes, well, if this is all the thing. And
point out what's wrong.
And he goes, well, it's because he's disruptive in class. And my dad said, he goes, well, that's why they have the behavior grade is for unsatisfactory or what you could. That's where you grade him for his behavior.
E for effort.
And so then, like, the teacher gave a look to the assistant principal, and the assistant principal was looking at my assignments and was kind of like, well, maybe you just give a glance through your grade book. Maybe there was a mistake. And that's when the guy goes, you know what? All right, fine. And just stormed out of the room.
Oh, wow.
And that, for that poor bastard, for the rest of that year, I had him by the ball.
Yeah, I would say so.
There was nothing he could do.
Yeah. I had to call my dad.
Yeah.
We'll just sit down with the vice principal.
Oh, it was horrible. Horrible.
I'd just like to point out, you're talking more in your nasal voice now as opposed to down here. And second of all, didn't when right, that's the one. Thank you.
I like it.
Me too. Thanks. You want to do this with me?
No.
Understandable.
Mine's better.
I don't know. I like mine. Now, didn't also when
what's wrong?
You all right over there?
No, I said go on.
Okay. Everything got weird there.
I only saw you looked at him, like, and he was grabbing, like he was reaching for a six shooter.
That's what I thought. I'm like,
I have a gun.
I know it's concealed. We had this conversation. Now, didn't you also write on the sheets at the beginning of Justin's grade school age,
you know,
if he misbehaves, just smack him around? And every year...
Yeah, he got in trouble in kindergarten for... he was holding hands with his girl, and the teacher had called me a couple
Natalie,
times.
Right? Anyway. Natalie, right? Natalie? Because he's only had one
Kelly
girlfriend.
Houston.
Kelly Houston. What a great name.
Kindergarten in first grade, that was issues with him. He was with girls.
Yeah. They didn't like it.
There was a big gap, and then it continued on.
That was somewhere the time. That was the time that she wanted me to go see the school counselor because we had this thing where if we did so many good things, we could paint. Okay, right. And whenever I painted, I would paint a house because it was easy and I liked it.
You liked it.
And
what grade?
This is kindergarten.
So kindergarten.
Yeah. So they. Anyway, I mean, I'm not saying it was a great house. I'm just saying
it was kindergarten, and you were given a paint brush, and that's what you wanted to paint.
A paint a house.
I'm not judging you.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's like,
well, the assignment wasn't to paint a house. The assignment was we were given an easel, and we could paint whatever we wanted.
And you painted a house.
I painted
a house. Many kids paint whatever they like to paint.
And it was easy, obviously, to get stuff done, and so I don't know how many I'd painted, but at a certain point, the kindergarten teacher told me, I need you to paint something other than a house. And I said, well, why not? And so this is, again, like, this is going to sound super weird, but growing up in my father's household, he was always stressing the idea that if you work for something, then it's yours. You earned it. You did it, not me. Like, at the same age, I wanted, like, My Pet Monster. I wanted it. And so my dad said, I go, Dad, I want this My Pet Monster. And
you had a My Pet Monster?
Eventually. He said, we'll get a job. And nice. I said, well, I'm 5. I can't get a job. He's like, that's not my problem. which we'll get into his parenting philosophy later. Maybe we're jumping the gun. Maybe we'll flip-flop.
I don't know.
That's just to finish the story.
Naturally goes there. Let's get your mom in here and find out how it all came down.
So this is before my mom even came in. This is when he was with my bio mom, or what I guess, for lack of a better term. So I was like, what am I going to do? I go, okay, I'll paint the craziest house I can imagine, right?
So when told to paint something other than a house, you thought of a house.
Well, she said that she wanted me to be creative.
Right, right.
She wanted me to be creative. So I was like, okay, because, I mean, even though I don't consider myself to be the most creative person in the world, but I mean, I like the idea of it or whatever. Like, so, but here, I don't know where I'm going with all that. But anyway, I wasn't creative, and I'm not. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
That's not true.
Well, I think it is because
you're a creative human being.
Okay, whatever. That's why I'm saying I should have just not
even
said that.
Just not saying in an artistic way.
Yes. So painting isn't my thing. It never was my thing. I didn't really have an interest in it. Yeah, none of that. I was like, I wanted to kiss girls. That's what I wanted to do.
That's an art.
So anyway, so I'm like, I'll paint the craziest house in the world since it's about creativity, right? Like, I got to be creative. So I put the grass on the roof and the roof where the grass goes. Now,
weird.
To a 5-year-old, you think you're doing it, right?
Right.
To a grown woman.
Oh, I remember how the story ends.
Yeah, it's a brown roof or a green roof and a brown, like, so it's just a green roof with dirt in front of it.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm like, I put a roof outside. Like, I could see all the little shingles.
And there's grass growing and little flowers.
I was like, this is great. I think I put, like, the chimney, or I put the door upside down, I remember.
So you put the dot at the top of the door.
No, the dot was just on the other side of the door. So if you're 32, you don't see this. So this teacher,
where was the chimney?
I think, I don't know. It had a chimney, but I think I put smoke, which I never did before. Like,
there was a fire inside. Yeah. It's crazy.
So anyway, the teacher sees me like kind of doing this, and she goes, "No, Justin." And I remember, I'll never forget that she took a Marx-a-Lot marker and put, I think she put either D or an F.
You told me it was an F when I heard the story before.
So she put an F on it, and she tore the paper off the easel, and she goes, "Now paint something different than a house, right?" So there were two things that we weren't allowed to paint in kindergarten. One was guns and the other was blood. So I painted a huge gun that took up about 3/4 of the page. Now, my gun, it was an L turned on its side with a little half circle in the corner.
That's a gun to me. That's pretty good for kindergarten.
And then I drew a picture of my teacher, and by a picture of my teacher, I drew a stick figure wearing an apron.
Right.
And then the paints, we weren't supposed to touch the paints, but the little, like, I don't know if you remember in school, but they had those plastic squeeze bottles.
Yeah.
So that was right there, and I just reached down and grabbed the red, and I sprayed it on my hand and just smeared my hand all over the page for blood.
Do you still have this?
No.
Man,
I'm
want
sure
this.
The teacher kept it for evidence. It was probably put in my, because here's what happened when she saw that. That's when she called the big teacher conference. And then I remember her suggesting to my father that I go see the school counselor because she was
get this story? I mean, what was your did she explain?
I thought she was crazy.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't like her.
And what was your reaction?
To explain my kindergarten teacher at the time, she was the quintessential kindergarten teacher, right. Super happy,
eating
everything.
Crayons.
She talked to adults almost in baby talk, like everything was,
best.
Well, Justin's having some problems.
And the therapist could take care of everything.
And we think he would be best if he went to go see the school counselor. And then, I mean, also supporting that whole thing is that at the time, my parents are going through like this split up and all
sure.
that stuff. So, I mean, and maybe that was the reality. Maybe I was acting out because of it, but my interpretation
doesn't
of the story
sound like it.
That was, it had more to do with that issue, but she, you know, I get where she's coming from.
Yeah. But, oh, man, kudos to you for being like, F you,
well,
kindergarten
here's
teacher.
The thing. Like, I was thinking about this today when my, like, I can't remember what it was. There's something that was going on earlier. I think it was when we were talking about the paper. I don't know. Something we were talking about when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of stuff. But, I mean, I always tried to influence you to question authority or, I mean, not to, you know, disobey.
As long as it wasn't you.
Even at that,
yeah,
but I mean,
that's a yes. Yeah.
Okay, you got me. But like school and things like that, don't just accept it because they're saying that this is war.
Right, yeah.
It is. I mean, if you don't believe it or anything, you don't trust what they're telling you, question it, learn something about it,
love
and
it,
go back on.
And he had, I mean, here's the thing. I don't want this, because I was going to school to be a teacher, and I remember like having.
When
parents,
you were in kindergarten?
No.
Oh.
I would watch teacher conference. I was younger. I was in like fourth grade, and I would go to school all year round because we had year round school. So we go 3 months on, 1 month off.
Oh, man.
During the 1 month off, I would volunteer and help kids at a lower grade level, which my dad loved because I was in school 12 months out of the year. Never had to worry about anybody watching me while he was at work.
Free babysitting.
It was great. So,
oh, and because different grades had different times that they were
in. Well, they had different
times.
Well,
when he was off
the
track,
track,
he would be the other teacher.
That's was smart. Always on.
Oh, wow.
So it was perfect.
Brutal for them. Now, was this also the same grade where you were asked to draw what you wanted to be when you grew up?
No, that's first grade.
That was first grade. Got it. So different teacher.
So this whole, I would watch parents that would come in and they would be so supportive of their kids in a moment that they shouldn't have been. Mm-hmm. So like, I just want to make sure that it's not like my dad always took my side. My dad would evaluate the situation.
Right.
And then if I was screwing around, then he would come down on me hard. But if it was a situation where he thought the teacher was being lazy or not doing their, for instance, I love his teacher.
The big thing was lazy and not doing their job.
Yeah, he was a cool guy and a great teacher, but he after my class with him, he moved on to the junior high and became a school counselor. He didn't teach.
He had enough of those children.
He had an entire class of kids that, for whatever reason, they stuck him with the kids that were having problems, right? And then there was me.
Oh.
And so I was like, I would crank through the assignments that he would give the class in 10 minutes, and then I would just sit there with nothing to do. That was the year, my sixth grade year, I set the record. I don't know if it still holds, but I do know that the principal explained to me that this is a record for the most times being sent to the principal's office in one day,
that's
which
awesome.
Was seven.
In one day?
Yeah,
that's like one
that's
every
more
40
than an
minutes.
Hour. Yeah. And what I would do is the vice principal was the one that was there that day, because the real principal would have seen right through it. But it was a vice principal, and I would just whip up some tears saying I was trying to help the substitute teacher, and he wouldn't let me help him and all this stuff. So he's like, why don't you just stay in here for recess and do your assignment? But he never sent me home. I should have been suspended at least.
Right.
So anyway, it comes down that I'm having issues in class, and so at the parent-teacher conference, the guy has me there, and he explains to my dad that he's having behavioral problems. And so my dad says, well, I'm looking at the assignments that you're sending him home with, and this is stuff that he covered last year. And so then the teacher was like, well, you have to understand that a lot of the students are having a hard time, so we have to review. So the majority of my class is behind, so I'm trying to get them caught up. And my dad goes, well, you have to understand that's not my problem, that's not my son's problem.
Right.
Your job is to teach him, and I'm telling you that if you challenge him, he won't talk. He won't, if he's busy, if you're occupying his mind, then he won't be in your hair.
Yeah,
I know this.
Why is it your fault?
Yes.
That you're around a bunch
of... And the other thing that I always thought was weird about this is that I had that paper out at the time, and I'd always bring the guy the paper. If we had an extra paper, I'd bring it to him at school.
Aww.
And so what eventually came out of that, he just picked up some workbooks, and then that's what I would do. And it was like above the grade level is what he would have me figure out. And
but
I would,
every teacher that ever complained about you being disruptive in class, because he was. I mean, he would get his work done or whatever.
He had that slingshot out the back of his pocket there that he was always...
Just to give him more work. You know, he's bored.
Right.
And
yeah.
Anybody that's cutting up or not paying attention in class, they're bored with what's going on.
That was, I think, because the kids that I saw that were cutting up were because they were frustrated with the work that they couldn't do, so they would act out. And that wasn't my case. My case, I would crank through.
I was done.
And then I'm like, now what? And then I'm like, then I'm going to play.
That actually played out in your adult life, because I remember when we were at Nickelodeon in the green room of shows, in between shows, because most of the time when you're working theme park entertainment, it's about downtime in between the shows. And there'd be 30 minutes of us just hanging out together, and you even said, normally during this time, I just like to mess with the rest of the cast.
That's what
nothing
do.
Challenging you. So
I would come up with phrases that I could say to try and clear the room. I would walk around in my underwear because it pissed off the manager. And I remember this because they had, and it was all about the hypocritical bullshit that they had. They would call themselves a professional theater company at Great America, right? But then we would all change in the same room, guys and girls, like you would in a professional theater company. But if I walked through the green room in my underwear, I was doing something wrong. And so then they would just laugh at me or whatever, but then she goes, you can't walk through the green room in your underwear. I would say, why not? Everybody sees me in my underwear in the locker room. What's the difference? It's not like I'm taking a deuce or, you know what I mean? It's not like I have my own dressing room. I said, if you don't want anybody to see me in my underwear, give me my own dressing room. And so I started calling it naked time, because then I would get bored. And and it's very true.
And weird enough, they brought Jesse in and sat down with you. And they said, all right.
Dad explained to
them. He does a great show.
More to do.
And if you remember correctly, this started happening
more presets
the year after they took away the Nintendo 64 from
us. I do remember that.
When I could play Nintendo 64, I was never a problem.
Yeah, you never late on shows or anything.
I was never ever late either.
Oh, of course not.
I was professional.
You're professional in your underwear playing your Nintendo.
Reading the paper while the manager's...
He's sitting on the computer playing.
But anyway,
solitaire.
Let's get back to my dad. So where were we? You were at horses, and you would ride horses to school. You're about seven or eight.
We'd ride horses, and we were young. We'd ride a horse into the house to get a glass of water for my mother. And we'd ride this horse up behind my mother and ask for a glass of water. She'd fill it in the sink without turning around. Turn around, see us on a horse, and just shriek. Get the horse out of the house, and then we'd have to take the horse.
She didn't hear the horse come into the house.
I don't know if it was part of her.
They had tennis balls on the front hooves.
Stealth horses. They were small creatures.
You were on the back of a dog, weren't you? You were riding your chickens around.
So, real quick, while we're on this area of your childhood and things that you would do, if you can, just rattle through some of the stories of the things Grandpa used to build for you and stuff like that.
Well,
we were talking about those last night.
This all came from his earlier life in Texas. It was like an old-time zip line, but it was just a piece of pipe that you would hang on to that was threaded through it. It was a cable off of a 30-foot-high post down to a railroad tie. And this ran maybe 100 yards.
Yeah.
And he'd tighten all this cable up. We'd go up the pole, grab the pipe, and slide down the thing. He'd put grease in it to make it go faster.
This is also a time before zip lines were the cool thing to do through the jungles.
Nobody knew in our area. Nobody knew that about. And you didn't have pulleys and stuff like that.
So did your redneck friends all think you were flying?
Yes.
How'd he do that?
That's great. That made me think of something.
We were the most popular kids in the area because my dad would just come up with some of the most bizarre things for us to do.
That's awesome.
But the kids loved it because they were fun, not because they're like, oh my gosh, somebody's going to get killed on that. Nobody ever thought that.
It was fun, and we were allowed to do things without being protected.
Mm. Yeah.
My father's thing was, I was a little kid. He says, go get that truck and bring it over here. I never questioned him. Because he told me to do it, and I reasoned in my own mind, if he told me to do it, he must think I can do it, I will do it.
Wow, and we had very different childhoods.
it was a 2-ton truck that I would drive, and I was like 5 years old.
That is awesome.
And my brother would work the pedals and everything. I'd steer.
No, that's only in movies. No. I refuse.
It has to be based on reality at some point. Here's the thing. I would believe you, except for I've heard my grandfather talk about
it. Oh, man.
We got kicked out of the truck because we tore out about 200 feet of fence.
Yeah.
Not paying attention to what we were doing.
Conveniently.
I ran a tractor into the garage because I was pulling away a little swing rope that he had made while I was driving a tractor.
old grandpa does not remember the reasons why they were doing it. Like, if you ask, like, young grandpa probably was like, told them to go do it.
Yeah.
But the way old grandpa remembers it, he's like, I don't know, they were playing in the truck and they tore up a bunch of fence.
We gotta get him on.
Not I told them.
Right.
It was just a different time.
Yeah.
I mean, you were allowed to, I mean, my father brought home a golf cart one time because we went swimming at this canal that was like a quarter of a mile away from the house. We were 6-7 years old. We would drive this golf cart down the road to the canal, swim all day, turn around, come back.
And no one ever stole your golf cart?
Nobody ever stole it. I mean, nobody knew that where we were at except a quarter of a mile down the road playing in a
river. Yeah.
You know, concrete river.
What you guys do also in this in the canal, I'm trying to set you up without ruining the story. Do you remember what I'm talking about or no? What? Where you would take something from people.
Well, we would go up the upstream this canal, and there's a guy with watermelons. We'd steal the watermelons, throw them in the canal, and float down with them and stuff. But, I mean, he shot at us with a shotgun with rock salt in it and stuff because we kept, stealing
his watermelons.
Oh, my God.
You damn kids! Boom!
So he's got, you're what, 8, 9, or 10, or what?
We moved to Modesto. I was in 7th grade, so it's like 11 years old. This is all prior to being 10.
Yeah. Wow. Can you imagine being shot at?
Yeah.
At night.
If I was Huck Finn.
Well, but we carried guns. We shot 20.
You shot back?
Not back at him. But, I mean,
how great would that be?
Man.
We shoot out at the watermelon corral.
It's like a mixture of.
I bet you're Doc Holliday. I had a pistol and everything.
You had a pistol?
We had. I was shot before I was 10 with a target arrow.
Yeah,
kid let that one go while I was pulling the rest of the target.
I've never shot a gun until I worked at Disneyland.
Did you?
Really? Yeah.
That's not a gun.
It's true. They were guns with quarter
but
blanks.
We had BB guns when we were kids. We shot and played games.
Still not. Those could hurt you. I was never allowed to have one.
My father had built us opposing tree houses in these cottonwood trees. And they were platforms of wood that, we could set up in, and there was ropes we could climb up in and everything. But he built us these big slingshots out of V's cut of plywood with inner tubes attached to them. They were pointed at the other person's treehouse. So we'd hurl rocks across at each other.
I
grazed one off my brother's head. He had a tarp over him. He thought he was, but his head was sticking up. Whap! Right across his head.
Oh, man.
We shot at each other with BB guns.
Yeah, that's what I was
doing. I mean, that was
that's
just part
safe.
Of...
My grandfather, here's the thing, too, is that, like, anybody can say that there's a difference between their parents when they're parents and then when they become grandparents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, I've seen it with him.
Oh, yeah, we watched
it
tonight.
It with my grandfather.
How many Twizzlers did Jacob eat
exactly,
tonight?
Yeah. Now, if I ate my father's Twizzlers when I was a kid,
took him out of it. Yeah,
I'd get two knuckles on the head. But anyway, my grandfather also gave my buddy and I, Rudolfo, he gave us a couple of hunting bows that he strung for us. And then
those
he didn't.
Bows, those were my bows.
Those were the bows that they used to play with that he found. And he's like, hey, kids, you guys want to play with these? This will be fun. And we didn't have any arrows. We go, do you have any arrows, Grandpa? He's like, no. He goes, but here. And he went and got a bunch of wooden dowels, I used to talk about this in my act, but for those who don't know, it's like the rod that you put your curtain on. Or your clothes on in the closet, but they were tiny, like an arrow, as big as an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fired up his bench grinder and told a bunch of six or seven-year-olds, how to grind these wooden dowels onto a fine point. And, like, I distinctly
with remember, no safety goggles,
no,
gloves,
no,
anything,
no,
stopping
you
from
that.
rubbing your knuckles dry.
How can you learn if you
exactly.
have all the safety? Come on.
You never get to have the cool nickname of Lefty by that life. You know?
See, speaking of which, is Lefty coming tomorrow?
See that scar on my thumb?
Yes.
It stopped a grinding wheel.
Okay.
So I remember my grandfather telling me when I had made an arrow, I go like this, Grandpa? He's like, no, you're never going to hurt anybody like that. Down to a nice fine point. And then we couldn't shoot it, so he goes, and he had us come back, and he put little notches.
Right.
Because we couldn't line up like a regular arrow, so he put a notch so we could put it on the string easier and have better accuracy when shooting them at each other.
Did he put feathers on the back? Did he put knocks on there?
No, he didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
It was an afternoon game.
I think my grandpa
guys had to play with power tools later.
Father's, well, we had power tools.
His philosophy, I think, was more, he would think it would be kind of funny if one of us came in with one of those dowels in our eye.
You know? What?
No. No, but it,
look, it happened.
He allowed us to do all kinds of stuff. We were young. He dug these holes, put this these railroad ties over so it was like a cave for mm-hmm. us.
When you say railroad ties, you're talking about the wooden boards
wooden
that would go in between
go
the rails on the railroad.
And we had tons of them, and he'd dig this hole, lay them over it, cover it with dirt. He built us little stoves out of like 5 gallon paint cans with these little stove pipes that come out through these caves. And we were like five. He'd allow us to build fires in it and cook our little Vienna sausages and stuff like that in the can. And he thought that was normal.
Right.
And if you're allowed to do that by an adult, you think it's normal.
Sure, yeah.
You don't think it's off the wall or
yeah, just real wrong quick for anybody, because I don't
and
think
you don't even think it's not safe.
A lot of people don't even know what railroad ties are, but and we discussed this earlier when you were telling us the story. But anyway,
they're like big posts.
They're well, the wooden boards, but they would soak these boards in oil so that they wouldn't dry out because they would sit in the sun all the time. So there would
and
be flames underneath these oil-soaked boards. So it, all it would take—I mean, it would take a long time.
Well, it wasn't
time,
open
sure.
flames because it was, the
it was
can,
in a stove, of course.
Well, but the bucket was turned upside down, and he'd cut a little door in it. So you were, the bottom of the bucket was what was heating up, and we'd cook our food on. And he took these little pipes and made little stove pipes out. So
hot metal
so the room
buckets.
Yes, and the room wouldn't fill up.
And if you touched the metal bucket, it would burn your hand.
The little cave.
But we were given matches to start the fire.
The cave probably didn't have any ventilation.
No,
it
not.
At all.
Why would you need that?
So it's just, they're just breathing in all this smoke.
We had like candles down there.
Sausages.
Oh, my gosh.
See, here's the thing, too.
And we're
is that
4 years older than Jacob.
my grandfather, like, I spent a lot of time when I was young at my grandfather's house, mostly with my grandma because he was still working at the time. But it was great for me because if there was days that grandpa didn't have to work, those were the most fun because that was when, because he was kind of impatient and angry like my dad was when I was a kid. But when I had him, he was the same guy who would build crazy stuff for kids.
Right.
But without the same level of impatience.
Right. Like
he was much more patient with it. But but my favorite thing is one time I said, hey, Grandpa, can we build a treehouse or something? And so he goes, okay. And so to build a treehouse, he took a bunch of like, not 4x4s. What do they call them when they're rounded? Like, you know, those posts or whatever that he had. Remember how that he had a, what did he build out of those things? And he had a bunch of these.
Oh, like an arbor.
Yeah. So he had a bunch of these, like a 4x4 size board.
Yeah.
And then he would just put these huge lag bolts and with a drill, just pound them into the branch. Not level.
Right.
He would
gives a character.
He put them angled. Yeah. And then he would just put it's like you ever play that game, Tiddlywinks?
Mm-hmm.
Like imagine putting those Tiddlywink straws inside a tree, like at all different angles.
That's not Tiddlywinks.
No. Oh, wait, what
you
am I thinking
mean,
of?
You're thinking of the game.
Kerplunk. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of.
Tiddlywinks is a little disc.
He only did that so he didn't have to cut the boards.
He would pull the boards out of the garage,
yeah. Right.
And then he would just find an angle that it fit, and then go. And then he goes, and then and we remember looking at it, and at the time I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be so cool!" But then he was done in like 20 minutes, and I'm like. but I wasn't upset because I could still sit up in the tree. But then he would always go a step further with us. And so he put a pulley that he had in the garage. Because as a truck driver, he would find crap on the side of the road.
And of course he would stop his truck and
pull over and
brought
grab
it. Home. Brought it home for decades.
He probably got paid by the hour.
There's a bucket there.
He put this
good
pulley
for stoves for five-year-olds.
Put an eye bolt in the branch and then hung up the pulley from it and then tied a rope off. And then he took a 5 gallon plastic bucket, flipped it upside down, put two screws in either side of the handle.
Man.
So essentially the handle could go through on the other side of the bucket.
Right, yeah.
And then he would use that because then he would use the lid as the base and still be able to hold the handle on. And that's how he would stabilize it. And then he would say, you guys can eat your lunch up there. And we're like, oh, no, it's okay. And he's like, no, eat your lunch up there. And it wasn't like he was trying to get rid of us. He was like, no, you don't understand how cool it's going to be when you're eating a sandwich up there in the tree on a 45-degree angle board.
So was he right?
No. I mean, we had a good time, but it was just hard because you're sitting at this angle and you're trying to keep. And we had plates, and we didn't want to break the plates. It's not like it was a plastic or a paper plate. Real plates, and he would sit in and the plate was just big enough to where it would take up the whole damn
bucket.
You couldn't reach in, and
you could put a sandwich on a napkin and throw it up
exactly.
the bucket.
No, not his way. He would just give you the plate and go get it, and then you would spill half your Cheetos into the bucket to try and pick up the plate sideways to get it out of the bucket. Like, but it was always
it was always a process with him because you were learning this, how to transport something up. It was
right. Yeah, it sounds fun.
We used to play in a wood
pile.
Can
we build a treehouse out here tomorrow?
No,
20 minutes.
Yeah, we had a wood pile that had nails. It was wood he would save to use for kindling in his fire, and it was all boards that were busted and had nails in them and stuff. And we would wrestle in it. Like I used to think when I was a kid and I'd hear my dad tell stories, I'm like, I'm never gonna have cool stories like that. But you don't know it when you're living it. You don't know how crazy it is.
Again, you and I had very different childhoods.
Well, that was the other thing too, is that I didn't talk about this kind of stuff at the time with kids at school. You know, we were too busy playing Foursquare or something like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I got much older people started talking about the stuff that they did when they were kids. You know, and I was
like, oh, here's me too. Yeah.
I always do that, and they'd be like, they would look at me like, what the hell? What did you grow up? I was up the street. I was
right
there.
Right here in Modesto with you.
Child Protective Service.
And I talk about this too in my act. My dad, when the cable would go out, he decided he was going to make his own bullet. So he had a 357.
Well, these were plastic.
He had a bullet press, and he had a 357 Magnum. He would load it with bullets.
Because the cable went out.
And it was for entertainment.
I get it. It's great.
He would call our Springer Spaniel to the room where he made the bullets and then just shoot at the dog a blank round. It was a blank
round. Right, no, I get it.
Shoot at the dog from it's a muzzle flash, right?
Yeah.
The dog is 6 inches away from the end of that barrel.
Oh, man.
And the dog would run and go nuts, run into the room, and then come barking back for more. And then my dad would go, blah, blah, blah. And like I said, is that like people around us were hearing like a gunfight happen in our house
with dogs.
Like just imagine driving by a suburban neighborhood and seeing like gunfire flashes in the windows because the house is kind of dark at night. All these flashes just
and there's nobody, no cable, so
nobody ever called the cops. People would call the cops because I was riding three wheelers, but never because my dad was shooting a 357 Magnum in the house. He could have been shooting us kids for all they knew.
Well, we just weren't playing in the street.
That's true.
It was what you did in your own house.
Yeah.
That was back when America was America.
Yeah. I think we just found the niche for this podcast. The good old days.
Put training wheels on a dirt bike when I was a kid so that I talked about this when my mom was on it, so I could ride a motorcycle.
No, but that's awesome.
Allow you to ride a motorcycle, but my father did the same way with building these strange contraptions and everything. He would always push you to the edge of your fear.
Yeah.
And once you've mastered that, he would push you then again.
So that's good.
He was always taking you out to the edge of your capabilities and your
fear,
whatever. And
it was like you go another level
it was
higher.
An educated guess. But you'd always think that he got the biggest kick out of scaring the hell out of people, but it was always getting them to go a little bit further than what they were used to.
Now I'm pretty sure this came up when we had Mom on the show, but I'm curious as to how did it come about that you were the person who was always in charge of killing the animals, like. Is that just because of who you are, or is it because of you're the oldest? Like I've never known.
It was an issue of being the oldest, but it was my two brothers were very much sort of like attached to my mother. They were different personalities and everything else. It was that blind trust or whatever that I had in my own father. If he told me to do this, it must be all right, and I must be capable of doing it. I mean, that was just a lot.
So, like, you would have to kill, like, if there was a horse that got hurt, did you ever have to do that?
I've killed horses, cows.
How?
You know, well, you grab them around the neck and twist them around.
Not a cow.
And then you pluck the horse.
Not a cow. You never had to kill a cow.
I have to kill a cow.
Oh, okay. But you can't spill it. You shoot him in the eyes?
Yeah.
A cow?
Well, I shot it like three or four times in the forehead before I realized that it was not penetrating the skull, that it put an eye.
Oh, the poor thing. Oh.
No, I watched the whole thing. I put its eyes out.
That is so sad. You said this was the horse? You couldn't break
this? This is a cow.
Was this at a distance, or would you just get right up close?
Point blank. It was a very sick animal.
22 or what?
22, yeah.
22.
Weird that it wouldn't break the because that's how they slaughter cows in the slaughterhouse.
Yeah, in the ear.
I bet you could take a bullet to the forehead.
I don't know. The way they do it, it was a woman that has seizures that figured it out. Thanks. You can take it down.
Yeah.
And they take the cow and they make it real tight so they don't freak out, and they put the Magnum right to their head and take them out. So
well, now, like, like if you're for your, this is going to make everybody vegetarians, but they use a, like the funny thing was is that they've developed a bolt gun because it would cost too much to use bullets on every cow that they would have to kill.
Right.
So it's just a bolt that fires through the temple.
Yeah. Well, and then you can sell the cow brain to the Mexicans.
That's true.
Right? Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I didn't think of that. So it was more because of who you were because you were attached to Grandpa that it was like your thing, or why didn't Grandpa do it?
Because he was busy doing other things or whatever, and that was just become my chores. I mean, that was part of what.
Because I think even growing up as like your kid, I think it would have screwed me up a little bit if I had to kill a cow at point blank range. I don't know. I'm just assuming.
But no. See, you assume things because you look at animals. It's something that they are pets.
Yeah.
The cows we eat or whatever. How do you think they get to the point?
Yeah. No, I'm somewhere in the middle.
But you have when you grow up on a farm or anything like that. Every animal, everything has its useful purpose.
Yeah.
If it doesn't fulfill that useful purpose, then it goes away because you can't afford to feed it, take care of it, and everything if it's not pulling its own weight.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, I think, why I have the same idea that everybody pulls together, everybody works together, everybody, you know, if you're not working or not doing something productive, then you're not useful, you should go away.
Which reminds me of another story. They would always have chores, obviously, you know. And there was one time they'd finished all their chores, so they were screwing around with some ponies in the front yard, and my grandfather came out and started wailing on him and my uncles. And they're like, what? He goes, Dad, we did all our work.
Yeah.
He goes, you see that guy over there? The guy on the other side of the pasture was out working in his, and he goes, when he's done working, then you can play.
But my father was a big thing. Everybody worked, and everybody had the grandest time. And he would sit
You work hard and you play hard.
You work very hard, got it done, then he would invent things for us to do and things to play with, mini bikes and go-kart. I mean, he would come up with and weld together the craziest things. When we were little, he had made multiple guns that would fire multiple rubber bands. You could put like 50 rubber bands on this thing and just keep cocking it and keep shooting rubber bands.
That's brilliant.
I remember
like
I went
a chain
on
gun
a
of rubber
he,
bands.
He taught us how to take a file and make it into a knife on the grinder.
Oh.
Grind it down.
Likes that grinder.
Not to get it too hot.
Right.
So it'd lose its temper or whatever, and we finally get it down to a knife.
I remember we went on some field trip when I was in school to like a Columbia type place. I don't think it was Columbia, but it was some place where they had those things you could buy. It was a piece of like a wooden, I think it was like a just a piece of wood, like a chip almost. Yeah. It had all these little notches, and it would load a bunch of rubber bands in it. And
it was the same thing my father had done. And,
but when he saw
he'd done this in his childhood.
Yeah.
In like the 40s.
When he saw it, he was like, I can make something better. And so he made us ones that were better. And I'll never forget this. He made rifle versions of it. He would just make it longer so you could pull the rubber band back further. And then he made it to where
so
there was
great.
Paper clips, or not paper, clothespins, is what was the trigger. So you just, because the way that the other one worked is that you would have, it would mess up your accuracy. Yeah.
Right.
So he made it to where you could point and just flick your thumb and it would fire and you could shoot straight with a rubber band.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. He was always.
Well, and he had like slingshots. He taught us how to make slings. I can throw a rock.
Right.
He never taught me that. He gave us slingshots.
Well, because you were in town.
Yeah, that's true, huh? He would show us stuff. Here's another thing. This wasn't with grandfather, but like it was one of the moments where I'm like, I realized that I don't have the same level of awareness naturally just from like. Because here's the thing, I think that we see so many people complaining about animal rights and all that stuff.
Yeah,
honestly, this might be the popular opinion, but I don't really care. But that we see these people complaining about these things because they're so disconnected from
Correct.
What my dad just said.
Yeah.
They're so disconnected from a time that if you had to keep an animal alive that you couldn't afford, you weren't making money off of it.
Your food.
You're costing money. It's costing you money to feed it. You had to kill it in order to be able to survive as a family.
Absolutely.
We're so disconnected from that lifestyle
there's a store with everything we can need and stuff we don't ever need.
I now have to live with my wife where I buy an $80 dog from the pound and he goes away and she's like, we got to put up signs for $1,000 reward. And so that's what I mean. I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't think I could walk up to a calf or a cow at point blank range and pull a trigger.
You could if you were hungry.
That's true.
If you had to eat it or if it was ill.
Yeah.
Those are the, that's but I, the only
but,
time. That's
but see, what I hear
time.
What I'm saying, though. I'm 30. Like, if I grew up in that, yes, obviously. Small. But I'm 30, that if I get to a point, at this point in my life, that if I had to do it, it would affect me. Like, I would, it would play back in my head every once in a while, and I would feel
time.
Some remorse. You know what I mean? Whereas you could do it, and I won't get into too much details. We alluded to this on the podcast, but my dad has done horrible, horrible things to domesticated cats and dogs in the neighborhood because he has politely requested that his neighbors leave their animals in their house. And if they get into my house, I will hurt them.
Duct tape on the cat paws.
Hit that cat. It was a total accident.
So this is what happens. This is, to me, this is the real story of the Beverly Hillbillies. That they're not supposed to be these quaint, fun-loving people.
Right, that wear funny shorts.
Exactly. They should come in and be killing everybody's dogs and cats because they're pissing on their lawn.
More like Encino Man.
Making it safe for the little kids. Come on.
Real quick, tell the story. Well, you don't have to be real quick, but it reminded me of the story
quick.
Of the olive
you
tree.
Have, you have 40 seconds.
The olive tree with all of your cousins and everybody.
It was a fig tree, not an olive tree.
Oh, sorry.
You have to remember, on my mother's side of the family, it was a very large family. She had like 7 siblings. Out of those 7 siblings, 3 of them had 5 to 7 children themselves. So there was a lot of cousins and everything.
Yeah.
We're at my grandfather's house. It's summertime or whatever. All of his cousins were, you know, climbing in this tree, and my uncle had told his kids to get out of the tree. They weren't listening and everything. One of my cousins got almost to the top of this fig tree, and a fig tree has brittle branches.
Yeah.
He slips and falls up in the top of the tree, and you could hear him go, "Ugh!" every time he hit a branch. He would flip over almost like in a cartoon. Ooh, hit another branch, flip over. He did this 4 or 5 times before he landed flat on his back on the ground. Now, this kid's almost blue.
Yeah.
He can't take his breath. And his father's standing over. Wait, I told you not to climb in the tree.
Oh, man. You know, that happened to
straight face.
And now what they do is they put kids in a corner.
Well, no, that, yeah. That happened to my brother. Have we talked about this?
I don't think so.
He fell out of a tree when he was 5, this tree in our yard that my dad said a million times, do not climb the tree. My brother, I don't know how he got into the tree to begin with. He fell out and decided not to catch himself with his hands. I don't know what he was doing with his hands because he landed on his left eye bone.
Oh, God.
So he cracked it, and they bring him inside, and my mom's trying to keep my dad back going, I told you I was going to laugh at you if you fell out of the tree. Ha, 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 to him. And my mom's shooing him away, and he vomits on the Afghan that he's holding because he's damaged. And then I remember in my mind, it just cuts to at the dinner room, the dining room table 10 minutes later, and he's sitting there, and you'd see his eye sinking into his skull because there's nothing to support it in his face anymore.
They took him to the hospital?
They just thought he fell out of the tree and landed on his head. They didn't think, he has a broken eye bone.
His eye's going down like the Titanic.
You see this slow...
And then, the other one I want you to tell too, if you, I'm sorry, is this bugging you? What's the one where who was it that used to shock people that leaned on his car? And then
that was my grandfather.
And had the switch or whatever
for
dogs.
Had a switch in his car. He took up a Model A coil. Now Model A coil is tons and tons of voltage, and he got a kick out of this because he would wire it to the outside body of the car. That was the hot wire. He would be sitting in his car, saying, hey, come here, and you'd lean up against the car to listen to him hit the switch and just knock you on the ground. I mean, it would just ache your joints, and he would be laughing. Oh,
that is terrible and awesome.
He was just.
That's the only kind of thing that happens in movies.
Didn't he also put, because there was like a stray dog that was like peeing on like something in his house or something, and so he had like, am I remembering this right? They did like a switch next to his recliner, and he could see out through his window.
He'd throw it. He would do all kinds of crazy.
So he put
things.
He put this metal pad that he ran this volt, like he ran power to, and this dog would come out and would pee on the post, and he would stand. This is, I guess, before TV. So he hit a switch, and he'd watch the dog pee.
Before TV.
And so you'd imagine just looking out your bay window,
Then
there's a dog. So he's sitting in his recliner drinking some iced tea, and then you go, oh, and there you go.
Yeah.
Wait till that dog's good and peeing, and then hit a switch.
But it didn't kill the dog.
No. But it never. But that's how he went fishing, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to ask
He'd
you.
He'd stick this wire over the shore and just
brilliant.
Crank it and then fish it.
Well, he's out on a boat or just from the dock?
Either way.
Yeah. Now,
my best thing,
not legal anymore.
But it was.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
if somebody's swimming in that lake,
yeah.
they don't float to the top.
they
float face
to the bottom,
down.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
I'm good. But he was the crazy. Again, it was just pushing you to the limits. Oh, we were so little funny. Kids because it was out on a farm. They had these pigs and hogs and stuff, and my grandfather on my mother's side would castrate anything. any male.
For anybody that doesn't understand what castrating is, that's cutting the balls off of a male.
I love how the males, you ask the males, are there any men out there that aren't aware of what could happen?
I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, you
that's
just
funny.
Said, any men out there
women,
don't know.
Women, I think, know what castrating is.
Well, they're born with the knowledge.
Yeah, that's what they do before when they get married. They castrate the men.
La. But it was his, that was his thing. Anything, it was castrated. He grew, you know, he raised these hogs, and here's this hog with a little litter of maybe 10, 15 piglets or whatever. They were maybe 3 weeks old, running around, very vocal and everything else. He had decided, because he had consulted this almanac, that the moon was right. Everything else. It was time to castrate the piglets. He would put us over into the pen. Now, we were, Christ, 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
He'd put us over into the pen. He said, go give me the pig. We would run out and get the pig that he selected. Now, remember, when the pig gets touched or grabbed by the feet, it squeals.
Yeah.
Here comes a sow pig running after us because we've got
its pig. How big is this sow?
About 500-600 pounds. I mean, huge.
Now, what would it do to you if it got you?
It would chew us up. I mean, it would
bite you.
Yeah, and so we're running
and
with
push
this,
you down in the ground.
But we're running with this little piglet, both back legs in our hands, running to the fence. There was my grandfather, and the sow was after us, right on our heels. He would grab the little pig first, take it away, make sure he had it, then grab us and pull us over the fence. Now, the whole time, the sow is chewing on our legs and our feet, and he'd cut this piglet. No, go get me another one. And we would do this 10 or 15 times. And we thought it was funny, too. He was having a grand time. Laughing his butt off.
Go get the pig. I'm going to stay here on the other side of the fence where the sow can't get me.
Tell him what Grandpa used to do when he would castrate kittens.
Kittens, we would take an old rubber boot.
Oh, no.
Stuff the head of the cat into the boot. It's screaming, yelling, cut it, and then turn it loose.
Would it come at you?
No. It was trying to get the hell away from us.
Didn't know what you were going to do next.
It did not go near the boots for a long time.
My dad's joke all the time was that there wasn't anything, like my grandfather's rule on the farm was nothing was allowed to have nuts.
He just cut it.
That's smart. But how did you get the cat inside the boot to begin with? Because cats
just
don't
catch
like
it and pick it up.
And pick it. And how do you shove it? Because cats
it's
don't
a kitten,
like to.
Though. It's a kitten,
so they're a little less.
We would do big cats too.
Okay.
But I mean, once you get their head started in there, it's a quick.
I guess I've just.
You can't
have you ever booted
yourself,
a cat?
Kevin?
No.
Well,
I mean,
I don't try.
Yeah. Are they around here? Let's go find some.
If you're going to castrate a cat, you don't have time to think. It's all internal.
I only meant the cats are very fast, right?
Nor do you want its legs.
My grandfather is relying on 400 years of ancestry running through his veins of castrating cats. He comes from a long line of castrators.
That's awesome.
He castrated everything.
Are you castrated? Now you are.
Yeah. Castrated and cut the tails off dogs.
Cut the tails off dogs? Why?
Because my father loved a dog with a short tail. So
how do you... Wait, I don't think I remember this. How do you cut a tail off of a dog?
Hot butcher knife.
Oh!
My gosh.
And a hammer.
What's the hammer for?
To hit the knife through the bone.
The butcher knife, right.
It goes quick.
And you have to get it hot so it would cauterize the wound.
Seriously, as she goes through it.
It's hilarious.
That's one word for it.
Yeah. I really want to know how many people, because I'm hoping that people are listening to this laughing, but I don't know how many people are at home going, oh, like, what if people, there's got to be some chick crying.
I mean, but what gets me is, okay, you've listened to these stories, and you're at a different perspective, so you're appalled at this.
I'm not appalled. I just don't understand the need to chop off a dog's tail.
It's before just, cable.
Well, no.
200 channels has done a lot for animal rights.
It's just like a lowrider, Mexican roller. We were customizing it.
Oh, well, that's acceptable.
The Mexicans have a preference for car.
And cow brain.
My grandfather had a preference for
you
cat.
See,
right. And that
but
was
you
ballast.
See, but you're appalled at some of these things that we did as everyday tasks. Yeah, you have people looking at, oh, video games make you violent.
Oh, yeah, no, I get that. It. All right, yeah. I mean, fair enough. Fair
well,
enough.
That's a solid point. That's a very solid point, is that, you know...
I kill things for real, and I don't kill it.
You want to?
Yeah, there's
a,
I don't.
I think there's a definite side of you that like to be killing things today.
Not anymore. But maybe when he was younger. I don't know.
Some girl jumped in front of your car on the drive up here. You would have hit her. See?
My father, when he taught me to drive, speaking of that, first thing, first rule, he said when you get in the car.
Never swerve for an animal.
He said you never swerve for an animal. That was the first thing. Here's the other thing. They tell you that in traffic school, right? Imagine growing up as your mentor, who you're going to learn to drive from your whole childhood. My father, he would break that rule. He would swerve whenever a cat or a squirrel or a dog...
Try to get it.
He would swerve for it.
Oh, the other way. That's awesome. That's great. Well, you know, my car is totally beat up right now because of that accident I had a couple months ago. And so now I'm willing more cars to hit me in L.A. so I can collect more insurance money. And so I've developed...
an income stream.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, it's $1,200. I didn't do anything for it. I just have to have a bash door. So I've developed a new rule that when somebody does something, I'm not going to do anything to get out of the way. I'm going to let it happen. And it came... inches from being tested a few weeks ago, as it's really late and I'm coming down a road and this jerk for some reason decides to come at me and make a left-hand turn really fast as another car is coming into the lane making a legal right-hand turn, and oh, we would have head-on smashed into each other. But I'm like, okay, here we go, because this is gonna be it. And it's this guy's fault because he has no business crossing into my lane, and I'm not gonna hit this poor guy on my right because he didn't do anything. Is that his fault? So I'm gonna take it. Get your airbags ready. Yeah, he saw it and he hit his brakes.
Never swerve.
Never swerve.
I think I got all the stories except the one where you guys you used to shoot arrows up into the air with all the.
We'd take the arrows, the target arrows, and shoot them up and watch them go up. And most of the time we were smart enough to run. My brother didn't. He was sitting there watching it. The damn arrow come right down between his feet.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we were shooting these things 300-400 out of sight. And we're running around. Out in this field and everything, going, there it is. But we were allowed to play with it.
Sure, yeah.
We weren't, I mean, we were protected to some degree, but we were allowed to venture out and do things and learn things on our own. I mean, kids nowadays are so protected, you can't do this, you can't, you know, you tell them more than what they can't do than what they can do, and they're never allowed to really figure things out on their own or come to some resolution of how do I accomplish it? How do I do this? I don't know.
You know, it's funny. I don't have that broken down in my head, but I recently got into
But you do it.
A little bit of a squibble.
And you do it with
Jacob. Is that he'll stand up in a shopping cart, and I think it's hysterical. Because Natalie was like, you need to buckle him in. And I said, why? And I go, he's not going to go anywhere. He's not even a year old. She goes, well, he'll stand up. I go, maybe, but now he doesn't. So we're walking around Walmart, and I'm looking at something, and I turn, and he has stood up facing where you would be, like, he's facing towards the front of the shopping cart.
He's turned around.
And pushing it. And he's just looking, and he's hanging on like he's riding in the Iditarod. Like, he's not doing anything. He's just hanging on and looking. So I give him a push. And he was like, "What?" But then he held on.
Right.
And then he just sat there, and I pushed him around. I go, hey, Natalie, look at this. And here's the thing. I love it. I love watching other people look at me push my kid around. And I play it up. Like, look at what he's doing. Like, I make it loud because I want it to look like I'm a total idiot.
He's got a bag around his head, smoking a pack of cigarettes.
Then Natalie goes, so then we put him in another shopping cart, and she starts to buckle him again. And I go, what are you doing? What? She goes, he's standing. He just stood up at the other store. I said, I don't know. It does. I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm just saying if he's buckled in, he doesn't get a chance to do anything.
Right.
You take the thrill of life away. When we were kids, you talk about buckled up. Everybody has to wear a seatbelt now. Children have to be in a car seat and everything. We used to ride around free in the car.
We
had a sedan. We would get up in the back window of this sedan. My father thought it was hilarious. He'd see us up there, relax, slam the brakes, and throw us into the front seat. And we thought it was the biggest game we ever had. It was great.
Wow.
Well, now that we've kind of naturally gotten back to this, is that I think one of the things that I would be interested in just hearing your take on it, and I feel like I kind of get it, but there's a lot of things that... that I know from like growing up with you that I apply with Jacob and everything. But the biggest thing for me that I that most people react to is the fact that you made me get a paper out when I was 9 years old for that same kind of reason. Not so much you didn't explain it to me that I needed something to do before I went to school. He wanted me to be responsible and have my own money. Subsequently, like. What I think could have turned into a thing where it's like, oh, that kind of sucks. You have to do a paper out. I never was obsessed over that part. Instantly, as soon as I started getting paid, because I was 9 years old making about $400 a month.
$500 a month.
With tips and everything, I bought my own TV.
Cost.
I bought a stereo.
Yeah.
I had my own phone line
did
when I was 12. No, because I didn't make enough money in a year to pay taxes on it.
But you look back on that, and that gave you independence.
Yeah.
That's great.
Definitely. Well, and here, what I kind of felt like it did was it, you know how everybody, when they leave their house at about 18, maybe not everybody, because I know you never went through it, Kevin, but...
I didn't leave till I was 23.
Well, but I'm saying like that, everybody, I think, when they leave the nest has a moment of financial issues.
Yeah, that's true. I never did that.
I went through those, but I started like the check bouncing thing. Yeah. I started that when I was 14 and 15. Mm-hmm. So by the time I was 17 and 18 and was dealing with the credit card debt, I was not dealing with them all at the same time.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I had already experienced enough that it was the information I had from being in high school and doing stupid stuff that I was like, this feels like that same kind of thing what I'm doing right now.
It teaches you. And it's the same way growing up on the farm. I had jobs at Taco Bell and stuff like that. I bought my first car when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
I went to San Jose, negotiated for this car, drove it home with a $500 down payment. I said, my bank will mail you the check because I had already spoke to the bank and they agreed I could, you know,
that's awesome. That's
see, now, my father, he made me get this paper out for that reason, so that I could raise money for my own car, because his rule of thumb is that if you pay for it, you'll take care of it. If he just bought me a car, then I would just wreck it, and it wouldn't be a big deal, right? So so I get this car. Now, this is what's great. He said, when it came time for me to buy a car, because I had been working since I was 9 years old for this car, when I was 14, I knew I was getting my learner's permit. I wanted to have the car before I could even drive it.
Right.
So he goes, okay, well, here's what you do. And I had about $5,000 saved up by the time this all happened, So I go. He goes, you get an Auto Trader, and you find the car that you want, right? You look through, you find what you want, and then you find out, you know, how much they cost based on mileage, and he gave me that information, but then turned me loose and let me on my own, right? I'll never forget this. So when it came time, I think I wasn't even 15 yet, or maybe I was a little over 15. Yeah. So he came with me, because I couldn't drive myself there. There was a car. It was a 76 GMC Jimmy. I went out. The thing was a piece of shit. It had Bondo next to the door and all this stuff. Like it had.
I did not instruct you on that purchase or anything else. I was just there to bring it back.
The guy kept looking at him, and my dad was like, "I don't know, ask him." And so I was so excited to get this car. It said, I think it said something like 1500 or something. I want to say 2500 or best offer. And I understood best offer meaning that somebody else could try and steal this gem away. So I'm like, I'll give you $3,500 for that car. And the guy was like, sure. he was like, and he's looking at my dad. And I'm sure that at that age, like they're two grown men who are looking at each other like, I'm about to rip your son off. Are you cool with this? And my dad was like, it's his decision, whatever he wants to do. So I buy this car, and then I driving it away. Like it's just, a piece of shit. It's just like nothing was working. There was the grill was all cracked and everything. But here's the kicker to it is that because I'd worked for 4 or 5 years to have this car, I loved it. I was so, but then all of a sudden, luckily,
you respected it too.
Luckily, it was just because if it was priced at $5,000, I would have given the guy all $5,000, right? But because it was priced so low, I was like, oh, luckily, I had enough money to put money back into it, and he helped too. He helped me pay because I had to put new rotors, put new brakes, put new tires. I had to rebuild
new
this
engine,
fucking thing.
New seats, new steering wheel.
Close,
new windshield.
It had no stereo. I had to put my boom box. I remember this. I had to put my boom box in between, in front of the back seat.
Yeah.
And I remember getting so angry because I wanted to play CDs, but that was back in the day when it would skip.
You just breathed
on it.
Yeah.
So I could never listen to CDs, but I could blare, and I moved the speakers and wired the speakers.
Nice.
I was with my father's son, so they were in different spots in the cab, but... But it just had this boombox that I bought with paper out money when I was 11 or whatever.
It was called the Love Mist.
And I go, Dad, this car is a piece of shit. And he's like, well, yeah, but it's your first car. It's supposed to be a piece of shit. I'm like, and this is like, I think a year later or something. I go, yeah, but I should have given this guy maybe $2,000 tops. Nice. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know. I'm like, why the hell would you let me pay this guy $1,000 more than what I should have? He goes, well, you wouldn't have learned anything if I would have just told you, no, I don't give him that
But it took
money.
You a year to figure it out.
Exactly. That's how dumb I was.
That is remarkable.
Comes across.
So that was the idea of the paper route, was just because then I was responsible for my own money. I had
responsible for your own money, but the thing was you had a responsibility to other people. You were supplying a service to other people that had to be on time every day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You it were, made me a high roller at school. Like, I would buy my friends McDonald's every day because I was...
Yeah, you had the cash.
Yeah, but I mean, I love it. That it's to buy a car, but you end up buying TVs and stuff at nine because like, it's another 6 years.
Well, I was still putting... But at the time, I was still putting... The $400 I got to
most
keep...
Most of it was going into the bank.
Most of it was tips, but almost 40% of every month that I made going into a savings account and accruing interest while it was just sitting there.
Yeah.
I didn't even know... I didn't even miss that money because, like...
Why would you?
Why would you? I had no idea.
He learned good customer service. A lot of people gave him very healthy tips.
I tipped very well,
But very healthy.
This is the other part that I wanted to talk. I hope we haven't talked about this on the show. Was we had customers like my favorite was there was a guy. My dad was always big on gadgets. Always big on gadgets. Did we tell this on my mom? I don't want to repeat it. If we did with mom, did we cover the paper route story?
Yeah, we talked about paper route.
Guy. We got the guy that he filled up the bag or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that was just because he's a whiner. If he would have been a man, and just spoke about it and asked for a service or whatever. But he was whining and complaining and
through
everything.
Them. He could have easily called us.
Right.
But I would just. You know, fill up the plastic cover for the paper with water, tie it off, and drop it in front of his door. I said, there's your paper. It's in a bag now.
And he did.
And a guy did not pay his bill. I flattened all four of his tires with an ice pick right through the sidewalk.
Wow.
He come across and paid. He threatened, you know, he said, I didn't flatten your tires. Pay your bills.
Well, then, wasn't there a part where he said he called us at like he called the house at like 7:15 and he goes, hey, I just wanted to call and let you know you're on my list of suspects. And my dad was like, list of suspects for what? He goes, my tires were slashed this morning and I happen to know that it was done around 6:30. And my dad was like, well, great, I finished the papers at 5:45. Now here's the thing that people are stupid about is that my dad didn't finish the papers until like 6:20 or something like that. But this dumb asshole has no way of proving, no way of knowing when my dad was there or when he wasn't, because the whole idea is the paper's supposed to be there before they wake up.
Right, yeah.
So it's all BS. Here's the thing that I wish I was more like him, in that he could see through that bullshit in a heartbeat.
Like,
it just comes to him, and it doesn't hit me that same way. And it's not that I'm complaining about it. It's because I have my mom in me where I'm nice about stuff, and he's not nice.
That's
not that
a mistake.
He's not a dick, obviously.
No, I'm nice. I just look... I see differently what people do.
You have an ability to flick a switch where it's like, you're nice, and you'll help people that are either helping or helping themselves or whatever, but the minute that changes, you could flick a switch and go, you know what, fuck you, get the hell out of my face, I don't
need
you.
There's no emotion there.
So anyway, my dad says to this guy, he goes, well, I want you to know you're on my list of suspects too. And the guy goes, what are you talking about? He goes, haven't you heard? John F. Kennedy's been assassinated. And the guy hung up on
him. It was just that's fun awesome. Messing with you. We had one guy that wouldn't pay his bill.
Fun messing with people, smashing their tires with an ice pick.
We would call this guy, I'd love to pay the bill.
Well, they're messing with our money. Say, getting back to the cow thing, you know, he's messing with his kids' money, essentially, you know.
But this guy, we'd
I'm
try to
yelling
catch
at you like you're not
I'm,
on our
I'm
side.
I'm sorry. Listen, guys.
Get the fuck out.
Okay. Right. Well, it's been fun.
But no, this guy, he would never pay his bill. Right. We'd call him. He said, I would love to pay, but I'm just stepping out or whatever. And I just gotten a cell phone. One of these big bag things. So I called this guy, and I said, you know, I want to collect the bill. He says, I'm sorry, I'm just stepping out. I said, that's great. I'm right outside your front door. And he paid.
And this is when people didn't know a lot about cell phones. This is before Zach Morris introduced us to the cell
phone. Right. That's pretty great.
How is that possible?
Wait a minute.
So in your opinion then, I think it's interesting, so hopefully our listeners do too, is that if you were to, you know, kind of give pointers, what do you think most parents today are doing wrong with their kids?
Isolating them from everything.
What do you mean?
From thrills, for adventure, from knowledge, for knowing how to do things, what not to do. This, if I do this, I'm going to get hurt. If I do this, this is the consequences. Or they allow them to do some things, and they never have to suffer the consequences for their actions. So they're not ever learning anything. And it's like Kevin said, well, we had video games and stuff, but the kids today have video games. We had responsibilities and chores and duties and stuff that we had to do and we were responsible for. and you had to learn the best way to do that and make it happen and everything else. And today people, they give them games and entertainment and everything else, but they're not teaching them anything.
Yeah.
They're not teaching them.
It's for a different reason. I think kind of, if I'm, maybe I'm paraphrasing what you're saying, is that the reason that video games and stuff are given today is a way of pacifying.
It's a pacifier.
Exactly.
You send them to the mall, let them buy stuff. You give them a skateboard and hope that they don't go find pot.
They have played video games for 18 years and they wonder why they can't deal with life.
And then when you get into school and you start doing work, you don't understand why most of your day has to be filled with things you don't want to do. I'm just trying to get back to the place.
Your entire life has been doing
whatever. Exactly, where I was 12 hours of whatever I wanted. Why can't I do that again? Because it's not realistic.
I'm not saying I'm better, but like that honestly has never crossed my mind. I've never thought about the idea. You played video games when you were a child.
But I also had to paper out. You had certain, and the thing that the parents don't have any expectations of their children, in school behavior, anything else, whatever is acceptable. You know, and I want to be your friend. I don't want to be your parent. And the kids are coming up with no skills, no nothing. There's no social skills. There's no interactivity skills. There's no pride in their work or anything of that nature. So how can this person continue on as an adult when you don't have that in your childhood?
So do you think, do you think it would easily change everything if, because I'm trying to think of, what if there's one thing? Would the one thing be let go and not be so protective of your kids? Or is it more important for them to have some kind of responsibility and consequences?
You have to have the responsibility and the consequences, but you also have to let them go.
It sounds like, if I could sum up your phrases, your philosophies into one phrase, it would be let them learn.
Let them learn and let them experience.
Yeah.
We as a society today, we take all these young people and we buffer them and isolate them from everything except experience on a TV or something of that nature. You know, and I grew up where you challenged something, you got hurt, you got cut, you bled, or whatever, but you learned from that.
The lessons I've learned from bleeding.
Exactly.
But I mean, but you take a smaller child today, we were allowed out in public and everything, and people go, you can't do that. But I knew what was right, what was wrong. Yeah. I knew bad people, good people, whatever. And I can make those decisions on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need anybody to instruct me, that's bad or this is good. Yeah. We've isolated children so much that they can't do that anymore. So they can't fend for themselves. They can't make those decisions on their own.
When I was a kid, how much of your day-to-day life was spent just trying to screw with my head? This is more for my own curiosity.
Sometimes a large portion of it. But it's not so
now,
much,
was it for your own entertainment or because you thought it was...
Part of it was entertainment. Part of it was just lessons. If you keep... My thing is to come at people in such an off... that it just takes them by surprise. And they have to shut down... Think about that and redirect themselves. That's my whole thing, especially with children.
Here's my other curiosity: is that now, do you think it had to do with youth, or was it an actual parenting tactic? I hope this doesn't sound like I'm trying to ambush you or anything. But
no,
I remember when I was a kid, and we would do brake jobs on cars, or I would help you pour concrete or whatever. If I didn't know what a 7/16 quarter inch drive socket was, you would scream at me and call me a retard and go, "No, this is what?" And you would just get angry with me.
Right.
What was the point in that? Was there a point, or was it just because you were young? Because in his defense,
it's very interesting that you're using this time to ask this question.
It just popped into my head right now.
I know, I love it. Let's find out.
But it's the same, it's a reaction to my own father. Because I had two brothers. I have the oldest, two younger brothers. Two younger never really got along with my father because he was very angry, very vocal, loud, and screaming. I figured out at an age... If I knew what he was doing and could solve the issue, he didn't scream. He didn't yell.
Right.
So, I mean, it became a... And you learned that at a barbecue.
I did?
Oh. Ooh, let's hear this. A story you don't know.
Pop Warner football. We were cooking tri-tip for this huge dinner, and it was just going to hell in a handbasket. And even my wife had walked out because I was screaming, cussing, yelling, and everything else. You walked away, but you came back because you figured, you finally figured out I wasn't. It wasn't you that I was screaming at. Mm. It was a situation that I
So here's the thing that blows my mind about that is that I do remember this now, is that I remember my lesson was...
You stated that to me when you come back.
Yeah, my lesson was is that I realized when he would scream, he wasn't mad at me. He was mad at the situation.
Right.
So this actually brings me back to my even my current adult life, is that there's something about me that makes me feel like I'm the issue. No matter what, when people are upset, I think I have to make sure that it's not because of me, because that's my fear. My fear is, why is this? Has to, but
I caused this.
This is getting way too heavy.
Are you not seeing your therapist anymore?
No.
More of these are coming back to your personal
No, I'm not seeing.
I'm just saying, you know, maybe you should see the school counselor.
No.
They can talk to you about why you're drawing those pictures.
That's hilarious, because I was getting super serious. I'm like, no, I'll talk about this. I'll tell you.
Bring it on.
My therapist and I talked about it, and that I had some issues, but now I'm good to go.
Yeah, well, maybe you shouldn't paint these paintings. Maybe you should just paint
that. Weird would it be if he asked me to paint a house?
That would be strange.
Or paint what you want to be when you grow up.
Would he be really good or really bad? That's what I want to know. Like, would he just be a kindergarten teacher who also had a therapy degree, or is it what psychology degree or whatever?
How are we doing on time? Where
we're
are
done.
We?
No, yeah,
okay, this is it. Yeah,
we're just chatting.
Anything else you want to say to the audience from that?
No, it's just. It's you got to be responsible and you got to have fun in it. And you have to take the safety nets away, and you have to challenge, and you have to push, and that's where you learn.
Okay.
And who do you like in the West Coast Division?
I do not watch sports.
Do you want to give a plug with your Facebook, or
I have no Facebook.
You don't have a Facebook.
MySpace.
Are you MySpace?
I don't have MySpace.
Oh, you're turning the lights on and off with that song.
I can't do it.
What?
This is the clapper.
Oh. It's a little John Fogerty for my
Camp
dad.
David.
Yeah.
CampDavid.com.
That's my only.
Camp David is your Facebook?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dad, for being on the show.
Yay. Thanks.
Good times.
Yay.
We'll do it again. And
okay, bye.
Thanks, ladies.